Critics have been puzzled by this statement because it seems to repeat an ancient concept that Hegel himself criticized again and again. It seems to say that the real or rational is identical only with the essence that's present. All else is degenerate, transitory, and belongs only to appearance. Hegel's supporters, however, contend that his insistence on the inward pulse, on the immanent and eternal substance, is exactly what enables him to judge a statesman as no real statesman. When Hegel says the rational is actual, he opposes the popular belief that ideas and ideals are mere chimeras or illusions of the mind. He denies that they're at once too excellent and too impotent to become actual. Immanuel Kant had said that conceptions of what ought to be are very powerful tools for criticizing the world as we find it, but Hegel seems to reject this view.
This divorce between idea and reality is especially dear to the analytic understanding, which looks upon its own abstractions, dreams, though they are, as something true and real, and prides itself on the imperative ought, which it takes a special pleasure in prescribing even on the field of politics. As if the world had waited on it to learn what it ought to be and was not. For if it were as it ought to be, what would come of the precocious wisdom of that ought?
According to Hegel, maybe the world is as it ought to be. Who are we to presume that we can dispute what is by saying what ought to be? The rational is actual, and the actual is rational. Yet Hegel goes on to admit that this distinction between is and ought is useful in what he thinks are trivial matters like social and political affairs. He even says that everyone sees much around him that could be better.
When understanding turns this ought against trivial, external, and transitory objects, against social regulations and conditions, it may often be right. In such a case, the intelligent observer may meet much that fails to satisfy the general requirements of right. For who is not acute enough to see a great deal in his own surroundings which is really far from being what it ought to be?
But when we rise above trivial matters to the realm of philosophy, Hegel reinforces his belief that nothing surpasses the reality of the idea. Now he rejects these acute social criticisms because they pretend to be a part of philosophic science.
But such acuteness is mistaken in the conceit that when it examines these objects and pronounces what they ought to be, it is dealing with questions of philosophic science. The object of philosophy is the idea, and the idea is not so impotent as merely to have a right or an obligation to exist without actually existing. The object of philosophy is an actuality, of which those objects, social regulations and conditions, are only the superficial outside.
These passages have become the chief stumbling blocks for Hegel's critics. Not surprisingly, interpreters have split into different groups. Some believe that when Hegel says the rational is actual, he means that what exists is necessarily right, especially in politics and social affairs. What remains, then, is for philosophy to correctly understand this necessary relationship between the rational and the actual. Others think Hegel means that history guides us toward the ultimate end of perfect rationality. Until we arrive there, we'll see many imperfections along the way. But these imperfections are not real. They'll pass away as the real becomes actual. In this view, then, we can make critical judgments and proposals for reform. Still, other critics suggest that there are other alternatives. And so it goes. Hegel certainly leaves much room for interpretation and dispute. He's even reported to have said that a great man puts all others under the obligation to figure out what he means. There's been no shortage of scholars spending their lives trying to do that with Hegel. Hegel says history is the story of freedom, and it's gone through three stages. First, the Oriental world had only one free person, the monarch. Second, in the Greek world, some were free. But third, and finally in the modern world, all can be free. Hegel attributes this to individual freedom as proclaimed by Christianity.
Orientals do not yet know that spirit, man as such, is free. And because they do not know it, they are not free. They only know that one is free. But for this very reason, such freedom is mere caprice, an accident of nature. This one is therefore only a despot, not a free man. The consciousness of freedom first arose among the Greeks, and therefore they were free. But they and the Romans likewise only knew that some are free, not man as such. This not even Plato and Aristotle knew. For this reason, the Greeks not only had slavery,